Misinformation, it's fun to play with it. Misinformation, it's fun to play with. This is Instant Inspiration from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. To begin with, we live in a world of misinformation. We love misinformation. We dwell upon misinformation. We eat it for breakfast, lunch, and supper. We share it with our children. We tuck them in bed at night with misinformation. We wake them up in the morning with misinformation. And so on, and so on, and so on. And I think that is kind of fun. Now, let's start out with misinformation. Misinformation, for instance, is that you're going to be sick. You're going to get a cold if you don't put your shoes on, your rubbers on, your goulashes. Misinformation is that it's a terrible day today, so everyone's going to have a bad temper because it's a rainy, a muggy day today, and no one's going to be in good humor at all. And misinformation is that when there's one tragedy, there's going to be two more to follow because it always comes in threes. Misinformation is that if you're born in a poor family, you'll be raised up to be nothing. If you're born in a rich family, you'll be raised up to be everything. Ha, ha, ha. We've seen misinformation about those areas for sure. We're told that the children who live in Nigeria in limited circumstances, with limited clothing, limited food, limited medical help, are not able to grow up strong and healthy and be beautiful people. Well, we've seen that to the contrary so often in our trips to Nigeria and Ghana. Misinformation. The world grows on misinformation, loves misinformation, peddles misinformation as though it were real. The mother says, now, you get a good night's sleep. You need 8 hours. If you don't get your 8 hours, you're not going to be worth a thing. I know if I don't get my 8 hours, I just am not worth anything in the morning. Well, tell the mother that tomorrow morning they have to be down at the bank at 8 and pick up their check for a couple million dollars. And mother won't be able to sleep a wink, and she will be up right at the crack of dawn. She will have the house all clean. She will have the breakfast on the table before the family even thinks of getting out of bed. And she's all eager, eager, eager to get that check from the bank. And she's not tired. She has no bags under her eyes. She has no feeling that if she doesn't get her sleep, she's not going to be worth a thing. She's not thinking about that at all. She's thinking about what she's going to do with all that wonderful money that they've never had in their life, and she's just full of spit and vinegar and ready to go and travel to make a big shopping spree and buy all the things that she never wanted or never needed but always thought it'd be fun to have. And this is the way it is. Now, why isn't this mother enjoying lack of sleep? She certainly had lack of sleep, and she had a lot of lack of sleep. She probably didn't sleep much more than an hour or two, you know, if that. And she's just so anxious and so eager. And so then the check wasn't there, and you have to come back again the next day. Well, that whole day, she's just antsy-pantsy. She's just up on the edge of just saying, oh, why didn't it come? I guess, well, now, we'll be ready now. Let's see. What's the first thing we want to do with that money? What's the first thing? How do we? And she is so busy. She doesn't think of going back to bed because she missed part of her sleep. And then that night, too, she stays up half the night and getting telephone calls from her neighbors and friends who heard about it, too. And she says, isn't that wonderful? My goodness, it's so wonderful. And then they go down there, and another night of hardly any sleep. And they go to the bank, and they pick up their check, and they find that their check is for not millions of dollars, but millions of foreign country money, which is not worth a great deal in this country. And it's many millions of dollars from, let's say, Nigeria. And remember in Italy, when you had millions of lire, it took several million lire to put as a down payment on a car. How very interesting. But you see, these are things that is misinformation. And that misinformation goes a long way. And just like a mother who gets angry at a little boy, says, go out and play in the freeway. You're irritating me. Now, she didn't mean it seriously, but she meant, get out from under my feet. She should have just said that. So all the kid's life, he remembers that his mother told him to go get killed on the freeway, and that she didn't love him, and that she didn't care for him. And that wasn't what the mother meant at all. She merely meant her frustration, but she said the wrong thing. She said misinformation. And that misinformation crippled that child all his life. Now, you say nothing happened by chance. Yes, that's true. Other children are told the same thing. In fact, many other children are told the same thing. And some of the parents really mean it. But the kids don't take it seriously. No, that's just mom. When she gets irritated, she says all sorts of things she doesn't mean. Later on, she says, I'm sorry I said that. But that's just mom. Now, that's misinformation. I entreat each of you this day to go out and empty your misinformation bag and throw the bag away. Never enter another piece of misinformation in your life. Now, number one, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you are not human. Ho, ho, ho. You are not human, you're divine. Now, you may act human, you may think you're human, because that's part of the thing that you came here to find out that's not true, but you may think you're human, and you call yourself human, and you limit yourself with all the human attitudes, and that's fine. But it's not so. Now, you say that you are poor. Just because you haven't got a lot of money, you say you're poor. Well, that's the silliest thing in the world to say. You know that the way you compound things are putting pennies away, and pretty soon they're dollars, and pretty soon they're hundreds of dollars, and pretty soon they're investments, and wonderful things like that. I remember when I was a little boy, my neighbor was a very tough guy, very, very tough guy. He would give the kids a nickel every week, and they could spend that nickel any way they wanted. But he told them that if they would each give him a penny of that nickel, that he would put 4 more cents with it and buy an investment for them, put their money into investment. Now, most of the kids said, no way, no way, you know, because a penny's worth of candy is a lot of candy in those days. And a couple of the kids, they went along with their dad. They said, my dad loves me, and he would only want to do things that are going to be real nice for me. So they invested. And this was in the time of the Depression, in the time when money was very scarce. And so the kids invested. Now today, those kids have that money from that investment. And some of them own the factories. They own the companies. And it's really quite marvelous. But the rest of the kids said, don't do that. You don't get a penny's worth of candy without that penny. And the other kid said, yeah, but I get 4 more cents added to it, and it's going to make some money for me. By the time I'm 21, I should have a nice little nest egg, you know. Because just think, 1 penny times 365, no, not times 52, it's every week. You didn't get it every day. Every week. 5 cents times times 52, I want to get that 365. 5 cents, you see, Papa puts 4 cents in. And he puts a penny. So that's 5 cents times 52 weeks. And what is that? 2 fives are 10, 5 fives are 25, 26, 27. So $270. $270 a year. And then that is invested in some stocks and bonds which compound interest, and which, because you can buy a lot for a little in those days, they bought a lot. And these kids did fine. Did real fine. But their father gave them good information, and their father taught them to believe in him. Now, he could have been wrong. He could have been misinformed himself and invested incorrectly. I mean, that happens too. But they believed in him, and their belief in him was so beautiful that he just had to come through as intelligently as he could, and he did. But you see, we have misinformation. We think that a penny doesn't do anything. I remember also when I was a youngster that we'd go down to the bank, and the banker would give us a penny bank. a piggy bank, it was called, and it had a little lock on the bottom. And we were told to put all of our pennies in there, and that whenever we had $10, we should bring it down to the bank, and they would invest it for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd pay us 2% or something like that. Well, now, 2% in those days was great, mm-hmm. because stamps were 1 cent, mm-hmm. and postcards were 1 cent, a stamp was 3 cents, and that did a lot of things. And so we had our piggy banks, and my brothers and sisters weren't too eager to take their piggy bank back to the bank to let him invest it for them. But I had several other operations going, and so that was just a little extra. That was just something on the side. And I took it down. It did very well. It did very well. But our misinformation is that take it while you can get it and enjoy it, because tomorrow you may die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die, you know? And people give you this misinformation. True, you could die tomorrow, but do today the beautiful things that make you happy and make you feel good with yourself, make you feel that you're really contributing something to your world. And take all that misinformation and just throw it right out and give it right back to a miss, because you don't want it. It missed something to come by you. So tell your dog he's whole and perfect. Tell yourself you're whole and perfect. Tell yourself you're beautiful. You know, the ugliest person in the world who has a great big smile on his face is beautiful. Nobody sees how ugly that person is with a big smile on his face. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, when he saw this girl that turned him on, he had the most beautiful smile on his face, beatific. You didn't see his ugly-looking face and his hunchback and his bad clothing, his dirty old, raggedy clothing. You just saw that face. Well, it's like, what's that movie we saw, the cartoon of this? Shrek. Shrek was not a pleasant-looking being. And the things he did were not pleasant things that he did by our standards. But he turned out to be one of the most beautiful beings you could ever imagine. And the misinformation about him was that he was evil and he was bad and he was a demon. And so he played with it because it gave him privacy. People didn't come bother him. But when it was necessary for him to save the princess, though every quality in him that was beautiful and good, and there's a lot of them, they came right to the fore so he could do it. And when you saw him looking at the princess and wishing that he were pretty enough to ask the princess for her hand, your heart just went out to him. You didn't see him as evil. You didn't see him as dirty and disheveled and so forth. You just saw him as a being who had a great joy in his heart, you know. And this is what we want to do. We want to take all of the misinformation that says life is not beautiful, life is not wonderful, and so forth, and just put it out the window and just dispose of it, because life is beautiful, life is wonderful, and you are each wonderful. And take all the information that it's fun to play with, because people love to play with it, throw it out the window. Let it exist no more in your life, and be the happiest person in the world as a divine being. I love you.